very laid back. And that was, of course, the wonderful voice of Mr. Greg Arthur, who, incidentally, is joining us in the studio. Good afternoon and welcome to Eastside.
Good afternoon, Eric.
When did you record this album, Greg?
Virginia, when did you get here?
Oh, I like you already. Oh, yeah, I just butt in, you know. That's all right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's lovely. When did you do this?
That particular track you were listening to?
Is that off an album or is it...
Yeah. That's off Jazz and Cocktails.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you
2022,
been...
2022, yeah.
How long have you been back in Australia?
Eight years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That has really flown.
It has flown by, yes.
Oh, gosh. I had no idea it was that long because, Eric, you may not know, but Greg was in the States for quite a long time.
Yes. I lived over there. Well, I've been working over there for a very long time and then I decided to just live there because it was crazy going back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
And there was so much work. I mean, I sing America's classical music, really, the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
It's there. And so the volume of work and opportunities that were there, you might as well stay. It was complicated, though, you know, getting
in
your visas.
Oh, getting, right.
Yes, and having your bank accounts set up and paying your taxes and social security numbers and all of the stuff that goes along with it. But it was a wonderful time while I was there.
Yeah, what brought you back? I mean, apart from the fact that you're an Aussie.
To be honest, I got sick it was... extremely silly of me. I tried to stay there in the American medical system and went broke trying to look after myself.
Yeah, that'll bankrupt you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's shocking, isn't it?
I got back here. I was very, very sick and, I had leukemia. And, and I never talked about it in this whole time, Virginia, until I got in remission.
Right, okay.
Because I don't like that. I don't like it when...
Yeah,
I think it just doesn't appeal to me to talk about it. But now that I'm well, I'm happy to talk about it. But, yes, I came back. Our incredible medical system looked after me. And I was still, even during treatment, still able to do one gig a week or something with the help of my friends.
Amazing.
Mm.
I mean... we don't realise how lucky we are sometimes. I hear people complaining about the medical system in Australia.
I do too.
And it drives me crazy because all you have to do is go and live. And I'm talking even in the UK, I was hospitalised for a long time there and our medical system is so superior. It's just amazing.
To anywhere.
It is. It really is. And you can be poor here, dirt poor, and still get excellent treatment.
Yes.
And, you know, so we are very fortunate.
Well, we are. Yeah.
Well, good on you for getting through that. That's not an easy thing to get through.
No.
No. And I'm not surprised you came back.
I'm very grateful that I'm here and talking to you two.
Absolutely.
So now that you're back... in the swing of things.
Oh, very good. I like that.
Yeah. They just flow, you know. It's just don't have to think about it. Do you have any plans of going back to the US?
Well, look, I'm now – my oncologist tells me now I can travel. I've just got to come to see him every 4 or 5 months, get a checkup, make sure everything's okay. With what I have, you're never really cured, but you're in remission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I will go back, but not there to live, and it wouldn't be for more than, say, 3 months. There are some wonderful tours that I'd love to go back and do. The PAC tours are brilliant. Like that's the Performing Arts Centre tours.
Can you tell us what that is? Explain.
Well, the Performing Arts Centre tours are they're a wonderful series of theatres all the way down the East Coast, and they're all about 600 to 800 seat theatres that specialise in live music, especially jazz, so art music and chamber music and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're all over the country. There's different tours you can do. And then there's the Napa Valley tours where you're performing at these brilliant auditoriums and wineries. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Wow.
And Francis Ford Coppola's over there doing a wine tasting and, you know, you're going to try this. And, yeah, that's freaky, meeting the guy who directed The Godfather.
Yeah.
And he's spruiking his wine.
When he says try this, you try that.
He pours you a wine you can't refuse.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I like that.
Definitely. This is a very nice wine. I like that.
Cool. Yes. Thank you, Godfather. That's great.
There certainly are a lot of amazing sides to America, the USA, when it comes to... A lot of downsides, but as, you know, if you want to be in the music business, there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of audience, let's say.
Yes. Well, what is there, 360 or 370 million Americans?
Yeah.
And the state of California is not only a bigger economy than ours, but a more population just in that state.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just to the idea of – and Nevada, then, you know, working in Las Vegas is wonderful in the lounges.
Tell us about that experience. I'd love to.
Yeah, what's it like being on the stage where you know that Sinatra used to work this stage and now you're on the stage?
Well, I haven't done that. I like the idea of it. But I did work in a lounge that Sammy Davis Jr. and Sarah Vaughan used to perform there.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And when I was growing up, people were kind of dismissive about Las Vegas lounge acts, you know, because I think it was a bit... It became a little cheesy, maybe. It was sort of like Edie Gourmet and Stevie Lawrence, and the Osmonds, before them, it was Sinatra, and the first act to do Las Vegas, I learnt while I was there, the first headline act at a Las Vegas casino was Jimmy Durante. Singing with orchestra, and that was the Pink Flamingo, and singing Make Someone Happy and As Time Goes By and all those brilliant things. And so there's a beautiful history there of the Great American Songbook and jazz being in the lounges. And I loved it. And I felt like it was an honor to do these rooms. And one of them, I was working with Vinnie Falcone, and he took over from Bill Miller with Frank Sinatra. He was his piano player, and I was working with him. And then Bob Rosario, who was Bobby Darin's musical director. I got to work with these people and do live radio things like this, but they were the Almanac, where you've got an audience of 600 people, and they do a live-to-air radio variety program.
Right, from the auditoriums.
From the auditoriums and the casinos, yeah. And a couple of times Rich Little was on there doing impressions of Cary Grant and Bogart and everything, and then I'd sing a couple of songs with Bob Rosario and his orchestra. And it's
wonderful.
It must
have felt surreal at times.
Yeah, it was hard work.
Yeah.
And you had to be very, very good.
Yeah.
First time I got on stage with Vinnie, he didn't discuss a set list or what he was going to play. He just started playing it. And if you didn't know the song, you can go home.
Gee, that's like Buddy Rich.
Buddy Rich was exactly the same.
He was cruel.
I've seen him in action. Yeah. And all the guys racked up in their suits. Nobody gets to take their jacket off. Buddy's in the shirt sleeves.
Mm.
And he's talking to the audience. And then he sort of does his chitting stuff. And he sort of says, you know what? I think I feel a bit like this. What about this, guys? And he doesn't tell him. He's whacking away at the cymbals.
If you didn't know that was the intro he was playing to his arrangement of Love for Sale, then pack up your instrument and go home.
Oh, yeah, he used to fire him all night. I was sitting in the front row, and I heard the guys on the stands, I saw them madly going through their thick pile of music, and I heard one of them calling out, it's 37, 37, and they all just went mad. And not just that, but Buddy's giving you 8 bars to do it in, you know.
It's like a Chinese menu. I'll have number 37.
Yeah. But you've got 8 bars to find it.
Oh, yes.
And if you're not there when Buddy starts, you certainly won't be there when he ends.
Yeah, he did what he felt like doing. So did Vinny. There was a bass player and a drummer and sometimes a guitarist for that sort of classic sort of trio sound. The thing is, I got an early education with Julian Lee and Ed Gaston.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and, great.
And Julian would send you home to learn the verses to tunes. And I knew a lot of them, but he educated me brilliantly. And what a lovely man Julian was, and a brilliant piano player. But I owe a lot to him, because those gigs with Vinnie Falcone, sometimes it wasn't... you know, it wasn't the refrain that we all know that he'd start playing. It was the verse to a tune. And yes, that was very tough. So I was very grateful to Julian for that education when I was 18 or 19, I guess. And but Julian knew everybody and knew all the verses and knew the writers. And I went home once, and I was trying to find some tunes to perform with Julian. This was on the mezzanine level at the Bennelong restaurant at the Opera House.
Right.
And there was a 12-foot Steinway there, and we'd perform up there. And I found this tune, and I went in next time, and I said, I've learnt this. I've got to think about who wrote the tune. It was my mind is forgetting. It was somebody like it wasn't Gershwin. It was Irving Berlin or somebody like that, who lived to be like 100 years old.
Yeah.
And he'd say things, yes, but now you've got to learn the verse. He was never that impressed that you came in with a tune that was a beautiful piece of music.
Yeah.
That he's only impressed if you learnt the whole thing. Yeah. You've got to learn the verse and come back in. Yeah, he was tough, but he was brilliant.
So what was the first tune that you had to know when Vinnie played it? Do you remember that, the first song you sang with him?
Whether you are near or yonder, whether you are false or true, whether you remain or wander. It's on my new album. It's the last song.
There you go.
That sounds like a setup, but
it's, I was just going to say.
More than you know.
Yeah.
Vincent Newman's. And he just started tinkling away on that. And then I started singing it, and again, you had to do it in the key he was playing it.
Yeah.
None of this nonsense of I sing that in D flat. It would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your
more
range?
Than you know. Baritone to tenor. It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm singing with the brilliant Peter Locke, Craig Scott, and Andrew Dickerson, so just that lovely piano-based drums trio, I will do things quite low and smoky. I did a tour last year with John Morrison's 17-piece big band, the Swing City Big Band. And James was on it sometimes, and the wonderful Jackie Cooper was singing, John's wife. And we toured, and I tend to do those more in a tenor range, because you've got to rise above that huge horn section.
You've got 17 guys trying to kill you.
Exactly. Yes, it's like a firing squad, Eric. They're behind you pointing trombones at you. And if you're singing too low and smoky, you're just going to disappear. It depends on what I'm doing. And
so do you have a preference, or are you like both equally?
No, I love all of it.
Yeah.
I used to perform with Tommy Tico and an orchestra, 50-piece orchestra. There was even a harp.
How old were you when you were doing that?
In my 20s.
Right, okay.
Yeah, maestro Tommy Tico. I did some albums with him. ABC released them, Love Story and something else. And that was a hell of an experience, standing up in front of a beautiful string section. There were usually 16 strings and 17 horns, a harp, oboes and clarinets, something that you don't get to see that often.
In the day when people still had money to pay for all of that.
Yes. Tasmanian princess to
Mary.
Well, when they were here, I performed at one of their functions when they got engaged.
Oh wow!
That was with Maestro Tommy Tico and the orchestra.
Wow! How amazing!
Yes, I had to learn a Hans Christian Andersen song.
Which one did you learn?
Oh, I can't remember.
So it wasn't Inchworm.
No, it was. I can't remember what the song was, but Tom wrote this big orchestration, and we had to sing this. I had to sing this Hans Christian Andersen thing that it was just very strange. But I don't think that they appreciated it that much. I think it was a bit of an obvious thing to do.
Yeah.
But some bright spark came up with that plan. But that was all Gershwin and Cole Porter all night, and a lot of dancing. A beautiful ball it was. It was befitting a princess. The Sheraton Wentworth down towards Circular Quay.
Right.
In that big ballroom upstairs.
Yeah.
Cool. Full orchestra.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've got to ask you, I mean, you were singing this sort of stuff in your 20s.
Mm.
So where did all this come from? Did you know when you were a little boy that this is what you wanted to do?
Dad had a great record collection, and my grandmother played piano, and she had a stack of music that was the original stuff. It came from that original era of it'd have 2D written on the front,
yeah.
You know, the sheet music, but it'd be Jerome Kern's Look for the Silver Lining, and it'd have the original libretto and then his original changes. Yeah. That was actually the education of that music, was comparing how Jerome Kern had written that and how the chord changes were and what was happening with it as a piece of pop music
from
the 20s.
Yeah.
And then looking at what Chet Baker did, you know, and comparing how Chet Baker sang Look for the Silver Lining, you know.
Yeah.
And how he altered the changes. And so very young I was sitting at the piano and comparing the two things and realizing that that's what the art form was. There was an expression there. And then listening to Sarah Vaughan singing Cole Porter as opposed to Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Same song.
Yeah.
And how incredibly different it was to Ethel Merman.
Yeah.
Who was Cole Porter's favourite singer.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. Jeez. He wrote most of his tunes for her. He just loved the way she stood on stage, no microphone, belted it out, and everybody could hear her, you know, not only in the theatre but over in New Jersey.
Yeah.
He didn't like the way Frank sang his songs.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of interesting literature on that.
What did you think of Frank singing?
Oh, I love Frank. Yeah. His phrasing.
Yeah.
My God, yeah. What a great swing singer.
And I always felt that Frank's voice, his speaking voice, was very similar to his singing voice. I think it's very weird.
Conversational.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, what a life you've had so far, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, still rolling along.
Yeah, I mean, you're only young. You're still young. Yeah. Gosh. Wow.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Greg Arthur, who's kindly joined us in the studio. Now, you've got a new album.
Yes.
As we just stumbled on accidentally.
Yeah.
Should we play something off that?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Why not play? Have you got...
Yeah, we got CDs. Yeah. CD players.
We got one here, which I will hook up right now.
And who's playing on these recordings?
Well, it's all the same. It's Peter Locke, Craig Scott on bass, and Andrew Dickerson on drums.
Lovely.
And the wonderful Craig Walters on tenor saxophone. And we're all going to be at City Recital Hall on April 13.
Yeah. And how?
In concert.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
What night of the week is that? April 3rd.
It's a Saturday.
Saturday, great.
Saturday night.
Right.
Play track one. It's Look for the Silver Lining.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about it. Might as well play that.
Play it.
Okay.
Okay. You got a CD player going on there?
I have.
Good.
I have.
All the latest technology.
I know.
Did I just read today that vinyl has outsold CDs again for the second year in a row?
Who would have thought?
Isn't it great?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I just remember the hours when I was, you know, a young teenager and in my 20s going into music shops and flipping through, just that flipping through albums. And
I still do that.
If you... That's right, but that's it was a really physical experience in every way, wasn't it?
But there was so much more also. You got the liner notes and sometimes there were
fold-out.
The books were great. I have an Oscar Peterson album called Just For My Friends, Girl Talk, and it's got pages inside. It's got six pages of liner notes that are – you know, like a magazine, as well as being this double album. It's really wonderful.
Fantastic.
Okay, let's have a listen. I've got this thing worked out. the track's called Look for the Silver Lining and by the amazing Greg Arthur, of course. It's called Greg Arthur in Concert, the Great American Songbook. It's available now.
Yes, it is. It's available everywhere, iTunes, and unfortunately it's on Spotify, which I'll never get any money for. But it's on Bandcamp. You can order copies of it.
And buy it on a Friday if you're doing Bandcamp.
That's right, Bandcamp Friday. Yeah. Yes.
Bandcamp Friday is the way to go.
Here we go. Let's...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Silver lining whenever a cloud appears in the blue. Remember somewhere the sun is shining, so the right thing to do is make it shine for you. A heart full of joy and gladness will always banish sadness and strife. So silver lining, try to find the sunny side of life. Sunny side. try to find the sunny side of life. Sunny side of life.
Yeah, that's
great. Where did
you
record that, Greg?
Foundry 616.
Oh, that was Foundry 616 recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a great night. It was a capacity audience. There was no oxygen left in the room. You know, if you get 110 people in there, 120 people, my God. But we were all, just the best players, you know.
Yeah.
There's a track on there of Corcovado, the Jobim tune. And Craig Walters and Jim Pennell came up and joined us, and we just captured a moment in time. A brilliant recording engineer named Michael Bainbridge, he put the gear in up the back and just captured the moment. It's a scary thing doing a live album.
I think as a vocalist it's terrifying.
You cannot fall off the cliff. If you don't hit a note, then
that's right. It's
it's there forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, you know, your sound guy. I mean, they can make or break a gig.
Oh yes. Why Michael is. I call him the fifth Beatle.
Right.
He's just as important as the drummer.
In
that situation.
Indeed. So, all right. Well, so folks need to get on to, I guess it's, is it Ticketek? And get on to the recital hall?
It's Ticketmaster. Or cityrecitalhall.com.au. They sell them directly. April 13th, Saturday, April 13th, 7:30. And I think jazz royalty, even though it's not really a jazz program, it's the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
It's not – we don't do 20-minute versions of a song and improvise for hours. It's not like that. There's so many different genres of jazz, isn't there? There's the we were talking about Las Vegas earlier.
Yeah.
Even Sarah Vaughan would sit in these beautiful theaterettes in the lobbies of the MGM Grand and just sing one chorus of Misty and then move on to the next tune. And that's that genre, isn't it? It's kind of lost. Jazz doesn't have to be where are we, the audience sitting there wondering what the tune is. That has its place, of course, and I love going to listen to that. It's just not what I do with the standards.
It's very hard to do something like that with a standard, though, because I guess, number one, people know it and people expect certain things to be in certain spots.
That's right, yeah.
But secondly, how are you going to mess with it and try and improve it or do some...
You can't.
You know, you're talking about the cliff.
Mm.
You know, you're sort of walking right out onto the edge here on that one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What I like to do is what Mel Torme used to do and, what Tony Bennett did, and it's whether it was big band and orchestra or just a trio. And as you would know, Mr. Bennett used to tour with piano, bass, drums and guitar all around the world.
Yeah. Mm.
And it was just song after song of these delightful tunes that everybody knows and loves to hear. And then something surprising... You know, like an obscure Michel Legrand tune or something, and then sneak that in.
Yeah,
but that's the style of show.
That's right, and you know, that's the audiences want. I mean, want that sort of sense of familiarity.
I think so. Yeah. It's more of a more cabaret jazz, if you like.
Yeah. No, they don't want to have to think too hard.
No, and I don't either.
Good. Oh gosh, actually, I went to a big band at 616. Last week, this week, whatever, where are we? Tuesday. Yeah, so it was Saturday. I went to see the Melaleuca Big Band, Elson Price.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was with Alex Seeger's singing.
Mm. Yeah.
And so that was the Ella Ella Fitzgerald's songbook.
Right.
It was a great night. Had a great time.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not a big enough stage for a big band.
No, it's not.
I've put a big band in there too, and they were spilling out into the audience.
Yeah. It's it was fun. It was great fun.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll be looking at the tickets, I think. I'll be going for sure. Yeah, so absolutely. I think it's going to be a great night.
To recap that, it's City Recital Hall, and it is on April 13th. Saturday.
Saturday night. Perfect night for going out.
Yep. And you can buy the tickets now. In fact, you should buy the tickets now because otherwise you might find there won't be any more available.
That's right. Get on.
You might be forced into doing a second show.
Oh, your lips to God's ear. What a great idea.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be lovely? Yes. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, we'll take it out with... Yeah. One of the others. You said Corcovado. Is that on there?
Yes. It's a third track.
Featuring the wonderful Craig Walters on tenor saxophone. And he'll be at City Recital Hall with us, of course.
So just to go through, we've got Peter Locke on piano. We've got Craig Scott on bass, Andrew Dixon on drums, you on vocals, and...
Craig Walters on tenor. And Charlie Meadows on guitar.
Oh, and... Charlie Meadows on guitar. Well, look, hello.
Yeah.
This is... it's going to be a great night. Fantastic.
Yeah. They are jazz royalty. They really are the best players the loveliest people.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we're doing a concert personally because, you know, obviously I'm biased, but these guys are extraordinary. I'm not a singer working with a backing band. Yeah. We are an ensemble. Yeah. We are a chamber group.
Yeah.
Doing this genre of music, and I'm very excited to present it at the Recital Hall and do a proper concert. It's there are a lot of people that won't go to a jazz club, but they will go to a concert hall.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's just a thing, and I understand that it's horses for courses, but they might love this music, but wouldn't be seen dead in a jazz club. I don't know why, but
that's so weird.
But it's true. It's a thing, and they'll go to the Opera House or they'll go to the State Theatre or certainly the City Recital Hall at Angel Place. So I think it's good that we're branching out into a different audience
and
presenting our art.
Well, present some art here now and play Corcovado. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, it was lovely to talk to you. Thanks, Virginia.
Thank you very much.
It's good to see you, Eric.
It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from soft guitars, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet walks by quiet streams, quiet talks in quiet dreams. There's a window that looks out on Corcovado. Ooh, how lovely. This is where I want to be, here with you, close to me, until the final flicker of life's ember. I who was lost and lonely, believing life was only a bitter tragic joke, have found with you the meaning of existence. Oh, my thank you. Quiet walks by quiet streams. Quiet talks in quiet dreams. There's a window looking out on the mountains and the sea. How lovely. This is where I want to be. Here with you, close to me. Till the final flicker of life's ember. I who was lost and lonely, believing life was only some bitter tragic joke, have found with you the meaning of existence.
Absolutely, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
There was a boy,
Greg Arthur,
a very strange enchanted
internationally boy. Renowned jazz vocalist.
They say he wanted
Tony Bennett said, "I love the way you sing. Your phrasing is perfection."
The world is cold.
Greg Arthur,
I will feel
the great
the
American songbook.
Just thinking of
in concert for one night only, City and Recital Hall, Saturday, April 13th. Book now.
Eastside Radio sponsor.